There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Doctor's log, hell date 2020. It's 7 a.m. I just ended my shift in the emergency room and now I am headed out. I grew up watching Star Trek reruns as a kid, and in the intro to Star Trek, they have this description of their mission, which is to go where no man has gone before. Right now, health and medical industries are on that kind of mission, and it really feels like my colleagues and I are embarking on this new journey as we stand on the front lines of the COVID crisis. We keep saying to each other, we've never done this before. We've never seen anything like this on this scale before. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. So I'm starting my own captain's log. I'll be documenting my personal experiences and thoughts as this pandemic unfolds around us. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my doctor's log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by ComEd. Discover convenient ways to pay your ComEd bill at comed.com/pay.
Hub Arkish.
I like this kind of party.
The Score senior football expert.
Once you put all the evidence that we have together, that's the bottom line.
Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, and Westwood One.
This was an ongoing conversation at Hallis Hall for literally a couple months.
Hub Arkish with Dan Bernstein on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hub Arkish is here, and he is from Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, the senior Bears and NFL expert for Sports Radio 670 The Score. You find him on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. So, Hub, we snap into action. We are doing what we do when the schedule comes out. We predict wins and losses. It's silly to do most seasons when we look up and we see some quarterback we've never heard of, either quarterbacking the Bears or the opponent. It is especially silly this year if we don't even know if there's going to be football or when there's going to be football, but it's not stopping us from doing our civic duty, is it?
Well, to be honest with you, I hadn't even thought about that yet, but I guess you're right. That's what everybody's going to do. I normally am not a big fan of that, and I understand why everybody does it, but you know, this schedule, the way things change in the NFL from year to year, even under normal circumstances, you say, oh, it's an impossible schedule. And it turns out that three of the playoff teams from last year, go 4-12. So you just don't know. And then this year, obviously, with all the other extenuating circumstances and the questions about whether they're actually going to play this schedule or whether it starts on time, I have to be honest, I hadn't thought about it. But, looking at it real quick, I'd say the Bears are going to go 14-2.
Let's take a step back here to something you said a couple of weeks ago that I keep getting back to, where there is a school of thought that some believe that Ryan Pace is role managing for his job, that no matter what's being said right now, that it's that he's had a long run with little to show for it. And if we look at Bears history, usually what it takes to move on from somebody who just hasn't produced enough, not enough hits in the draft, not enough wins on the field, you pushed back against that. And you said that based on everything you see or hear, the body of work is still tilting towards a solid footing for Ryan Pace? Is that based on any actionable intelligence that you gather from the people above him in the organization, or just the fact that the Bears usually have tended to inaction rather than action?
Well, it's both, actually. I mean, and I think what you have to, or at least the way I look at it, is that there is a real question amongst, you know, objective analysts, people who take the emotion out, not fans. Where's the arrow? You know, have they flatlined? Is the arrow pointing down? Is the arrow pointing up? You only get fired when the arrow is pointing down or you've just flatlined for a significant period of time. So you look at the body of work. He comes in. He's the youngest GM in the NFL. He inherits the worst roster, one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And he's given a coach who, yes, he had veto power, but he got talked into John Fox. And I don't think there's any debate about that. I even know who the guy he had to deal with, who he had to say, I can't do it with. And so, you know, Fox phones it in for 3 years. But the roster is clearly improving, particularly on the defensive side. And they say, all right, this isn't working. He gets a chance to start over, including a contract extension that locks him up for 5 more years. And he brings in, you know, of course, Matt Nagy. Well, in the first year, he's the executive of the year. Nagy's the coach of the year. They go 12-4. They would have won a playoff game if they had a field goal kicker. And so now you come to last year, and they take a step back. They disappoint. But even in that disappointment, they're 8-8. And while I know most teams in the NFL can find a few games, the fact with them is that they are 3 plays away from 10-6, even in that awful 8-8 season. I don't see how that arrow's not still pointing up a little bit, or at least flatlined, you know, which is somewhere he tried to get. And then you ask the first part of the question. There's only a couple people above him in the Bears organization, but having, you know, followed the McCaskey family and knowing how they work and talking to people around them and up there, most of them just laugh at the idea that Ryan could be in trouble. So I think that they have to take a step forward this year, or he's going to get himself into trouble. You know, clearly a disastrous season. The reason that Phil Emery got blown out after 3 years and Mark Trestman after 2 years is because that second year with Trestman was one of the most embarrassing seasons in Bears history. So, and clearly the arrow was pointing down. Now, you know, if it goes there this year, then it could change. But going into the season, I don't believe he's in any jeopardy whatsoever.
Do you know how the collective bargaining agreement governs the work that NFL teams can do? Because we heard Matt Nagy on NFL Network last night talking about their virtual meetings, whether it's a virtual rookie minicamp or OTAs or things that would be going on in a regular May. How are they allowed to instruct? Are there minimums or maximum Zoom meetings? Are they full team meetings? I would love to know actually what the Bears are doing right now.
The coaches, and this is under normal circumstances, obviously, there's two issues here. Number one is that the full collective bargaining agreement is the last one was 340-some pages. It is posted for the media to secure site at NFL, at the NFL media site. And I got to be honest, I haven't looked yet to see if the new one is even up there yet, so I can't pretend I've read the whole thing. But assuming that it hasn't changed dramatically from the last one, and we do know there were some further restrictions put on practice time, the coaches are only allowed to be with the players for a certain number of hours over the off season, which is basically from the beginning of their workout programs, which are usually in mid-April, until they get to training camp. So I'm sure the amount of time is clearly defined and hasn't changed and wouldn't be expanded in this situation. Beyond that, though, because there are no rules for this, I don't think that it, you know, talks about meeting time. It certainly limits contact, which is not an issue since they're not together. They don't have pads on. So other than a time restriction, I'm not aware of anything in the CBA that would involve what they can do, you know, in Zoom meetings and things like that.
Well, that's why I've been wondering. Is it possible that the quarterback competition has already begun? Is it possible they have these virtual show videos to these two guys and say, all right, what's your read? What are your progressions here? You see this defense, who's the mic? What's your call? How do we do this? And who are you looking for? That they, theoretically, they could already be competing, could they not?
Yeah, Dan, it's a good point. And they're, again, we know there's meetings. We know they're talking. I'm sure that they are, you know, looking at things like that. But I don't know how relevant they really are to the competition, because let's be honest, what we're talking about is, does Mitch know what's going on? Does he know the offense? And the answer is, on film and on the whiteboard, I'm sure he does. You know, that's rarely the problem with these kids. I mean, when you get a young quarterback who can't even see it on film, or who isn't watching film properly, or who hasn't learned the offense, he doesn't get the, you know, well, it would be actually, what, 28 straight starts, if not for the couple shoulder injuries at such a young age. So, you know, I'm sure they're doing that, but I don't think that's where the real competition is. I'm sure that both Trubisky and Foles, and you know, you can obviously throw in anybody else you got, will be fine there. I think the issue is getting them out on the football field.
Do you know if the Bears were at all concerned or dismayed by the leaked Roquan Smith video of drinking on a boat with a bunch of people?
I haven't heard anything specific about it. I can assure you that they are concerned, as they would be, you know, with any player. You know, I mean, we know what's going on. I don't know if he was in Georgia, you know, specifically at the time, but you assume he might have been, and it is the, I guess, one of the, if not the least lax state in the union with all this opening up the most quickly. As a matter of fact, I don't know the timing of it. They're open there, you know, so I don't know. But yes, I'm sure that the Bears would be concerned about it. A, just to allow that to happen after the issues last year, which are unrelated to something like this, and B, because it's neither sound nor safe. I'm not aware of any, you know, discipline, any conversation, any outreach from the Bears to Smith.
I'm wondering if any NFL teams would try to get a leg up. As you mentioned, the uneven opening state by state and the relaxations of some of these laws and rules that were put into place to keep people away from each other, of how aggressively an NFL team might say, okay, we happen to have these players here, here, and here, and maybe our coach can show up here or there. Again, back to collective bargaining, that if teams want to go to places that are rather than gathering officially, we know the players can be encouraged to get together on their own. And I'm not saying, you know, fly them in and have de facto practices, but maybe you make sure that a quarterback and receivers, if it's possible, are together, are working on things, and maybe report back to you on how things went. It would be really possible to fudge some of this stuff in a way that would operate probably, you know, legally pursuant to the CBA in a gray area.
Yeah, Dan, I am quite sure. One thing we know about NFL teams in general and NFL coaches specifically, a lot of quarterbacks, certainly GMs, they will push this as close to the limit as they can in every way they can. And if they do see a way to fudge it a little bit, you know, and assume that it's no harm, no foul, they'll do that too. I think in this case, it's more about the personalities of some of these coaches, who's more likely than others, you know, who are some of the crazier ones. And then, in addition to the coaches, the guys you really want to look at is some of the quarterbacks or some of the team leaders who, independent of being told, which really would keep the team clean in something like this, will try and get their receivers or certain players together. And I'm positive that that outreach was probably going on before the league relaxed the rules. And eventually we'll hear stories about that.
When you saw the schedule and saw the fact that the Bears open with a divisional game, and they did not, as many expected, push the divisional games toward the back of the schedule and the interconference games to the front of the schedule to make them easier to cancel, does that betray any sense of confidence, or is that just kind of whistling past the graveyard here when they just say they're gonna do this as if they don't have to prepare to move off anything that they've published?
You know, Dan, one of the things I've talked about, I can't remember if we talked about it or not, but I know I've mentioned on the air a couple times, is according to my sources, there are at least two finished schedules, and several guys I talked to believe there's three finished schedules right now. Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C, and they do not all look identical. Now the thought is that Plan B is similar to this one. It just pushes back to October 15th. It pushes the Super Bowl back 6 weeks, that they've already checked with the folks in Tampa that they can make that work if they have to. It eliminates a bye week, maybe a couple other things. But then that plan C, I'm told, is for a 10-game schedule. And I think once they start talking about less than 16 games is where that work would be more likely to be done. In this particular case, they're not approaching this as if we can't start the first Thursday after Labor Day. We're just using this schedule and seeing how far back we can push it. They've been far more creative with this, is my understanding, because they are determined to have some kind of a season and to have it make sense.
Obviously, they're going to need thousands and thousands and thousands of tests to test people over and over and over again in practice facilities and stadiums and everything they need to do with all the logistics involved. And to hear some other commissioners talk about it, Adam Silver specifically, he openly said that they could get the tests, but he just doesn't think they could do so ethically. He doesn't think that until regular American citizens and the people working in the meat processing plant and everywhere else that are coming down, they're turning into hotspots here, that until people can be tested enough and the citizenry can be tested enough, it's not right. It's just simply not right for a league to be hoarding tests in that regard. MLB understands this too. I haven't heard that necessarily from football, because what underlies anything that they do is going to have to be backstopped by constant testing. And are they going to be okay saying, yeah, our people and we matter more than you, and we are going to get these tests because we can?
See, Dan, this is the fascinating part. I don't know if it's fascinating. It's the interesting part of the conversation to me, because it starts with obviously. And I agree with you. Obviously, you would think they would know that. But obviously, we have governors of a number of states who don't agree with that. You know, and so I don't know what these people are thinking. What seems obvious to you and me not only isn't obvious to others, others actually disagree with it. You know, and I'm not trying to poke anybody here. Believe what you want to believe. I'd love to poke you. I'm not going to now. But I think it is the fair point in answer to your question. The reason, you know, people are mad at me because I tend to lean towards, gosh, I don't see how they can start on time if they start at all. And it's, oh, how can you be so negative? How can you say that? Because that's what the science says. And yet, you know, we have a lot of people out here at this point who aren't interested in the science. And so when I look at the NFL and I look at the egos of some of these owners and I look at where their first concerns may be, I don't know, you know, if they agree with that or not. Because what is obvious is that, and nobody can dispute this, the game is played in 22 different states in the District of Columbia. Are all those states going to be operating under the same rules? The owners have no control over that, you know, and we just don't know. So I think everything that they've done here, everything that the NFL has done for the last couple of months, and really, quite frankly, to their credit, I think at this point, they're doing business as usual, not with risking their players and their employees, but in their planning for the season. And they're continuing to go business as usual, and people are enjoying the distraction. And are hopeful, and we'll see what happens. But I think as they get closer to the reality of this, and, you know, training camps are usually going to open around July 20th. We get to the 4th of July, and we know what's really going on. That's when they're going to have to start to make some important decisions. And I think they've set themselves up well to react quickly. But I don't know, you know, what they're actually thinking right now, or what their honest, you know, belief is that they can actually get done.
Yes, it's to be honest, I don't know what we'd do without them. The fact that they pulled off the draft, the fact that they are acting as defiantly as they are, I go back and forth, because sometimes I think, what the hell do they think they're doing, and how do they think this can actually work? And then I get excited again, and they're like, oh yeah, look at all the guys the Bears signed, and they got a quarterback competition, and it's such an important part of our livelihood that I've got two channels going in my head where I'm talking about it, and I'm thinking about it, and we're preparing for it, and then I'll stop, and I'll take a breath, and I'll look at it from another angle and just think, how the hell could they possibly pull off something like this once you actually have to have people together doing these things? And I don't know how the two eventually marry up.
I thought this was all great, and I had no problem with any of it. And I still think most of it is more good than bad. But my first real concern arose last night when I saw that memo from Goodell, and he talked about preparing to allow teams to reopen and allow up to 50% of the employees, you know, back in at any one time. Now that is clearly very dangerous. Now, it also isn't necessarily happening today. You know, we'll see when they're going to do it, but it was the first time that they actually talked about something mechanically and logistically that could really put people at risk. And will these owners do it? You know, I mean, some will, some won't. You saw what happened with the NBA yesterday. Mark Cuban said they can announce it's okay to do whatever you want. I ain't reopening. You know, and he's in Texas where they are trying to reopen. So at this point, it is one of the best-run businesses in the country that seems to be pushing all the right buttons, and we are only hearing from the CEO. Once they have to start making choices, like the states are being forced to make right now because they're not, you know, being dictated to by the Fed, then, you know, we'll start to see the same kind of, you know, variances and disagreements, I think. But for right now, it's been good entertainment. It's something that we've all needed because we do all need a distraction and positive things to think about.
Always great stuff, Hub. Thank you. Have a terrific weekend.
All right, Dan. You too.
That is Hub Arkush. And he mentions the distractions, things to talk about. Well, Sunday nights have been giving us that for the last few weeks, as ESPN's The Last Dance documentary has just been, frankly, a cultural phenomenon with what it's been showing regarding the 1998 Bulls. And we've responded by creating our Bulls Mondays here on the Midday Show. On Monday, Will Perdue is going to join me once again, and we're going to react to the two episodes that we see on Sunday night. Bill Cartwright is scheduled to join us. Mark Schanowski is scheduled to join us. Luke Kanellis is scheduled to join us, and we may have another surprise in there as well. Former Bull Craig Hodges was on the radio out in San Francisco last week, reacting to what he saw in the last couple episodes. And he is always an interesting man, and always has been for a lot of reasons. And it's a guy who always has had the guts to say things that others have not, and he's paid the price for it. The guy was that was Colin Kaepernick before Colin Kaepernick, when he had made his statement when the Bulls visited the White House. And he had some strong thoughts for what he saw from Michael Jordan. And I may agree on some and disagree on some others, but it will lead us after the Midday Midway up to Dave Zirin of The Nation. He's their sports editor, and he is the Edge of Sports podcast. He's going to join us at 11, and he's got a bit of a dissenting view regarding the way Michael Jordan is presenting himself and something that's being celebrated that he thinks should not be celebrated. So I want you to hear what Craig Hodges had to say coming up next, and we'll listen to it together on The Score.
While we're all stuck at home and missing our live sports, The Score is here to help with Bears Sundays. We're rerunning 8 historic Bears games, 8 straight Sundays in a row. We pick things up this Sunday at noon with the Bears versus the Vikings. It was week 15 of 2010. Devin Hester made history on Monday Night Football, and Brett Favre gets knocked out.
Favre in trouble. Favre, down he goes. Sacked out of play by Curry.
Favre is down. Favre is not getting up.
Listen in as Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer deliver all the action this Sunday at noon, exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
Brought to you by Illinois Ford Dealers. Ford is built to lend a hand. So are your Illinois Ford dealers. See how at Ford.com.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. The NFL schedule makers are making a bet in Vegas, gambling that simply by football being played there, we'll tune in. The Raiders have 4 primetime games, all of which are at home. They may have a 5th as well, a flex game, week 16 on a Saturday. Again, at home. Which means no matter where you live in the U.S., you could see a Raider team that missed the playoffs 5 times, all in Vegas this year. The powers in the NFL are overestimating our interest in a stadium. Aside from Lambeau, we don't watch NFL games because of where they're played, especially if there's no weather element involved. The NFL is likely trying to make going to Vegas to see the Raiders seem like a big event. But you know what? They're trying too hard. This is Damon Amendolara.
Texting.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein here. You know, for a couple years now, I've been talking about my friends at Aloha Restoration, but with all the storms that have been hitting around Evanston, Skokie, Winnetka, and more, I want to mention Aloha Restoration's parent company. It's Aloha Construction. And right now, Aloha Construction is providing free property inspections if you want to check your roof, your siding, your gutters for storm damage. And they're doing this while practicing a contact-free process. That's right, contact-free. So call Aloha Construction, 847-540-7711, or visit alohabuilds.com. It's Aloha Construction. We rain when it storms.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted. With premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda. And hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Opinions about sports, everybody's got them. Mike Francesa's opinions, they're pretty strong.
Sometimes, folks, I watch these games, I wonder where the coaches leave their brains.
If it's happening in sports, Mike's got an opinion on it.
It's only been going on at baseball for 70 years.
Catch Mike's On with Francesa. Weekdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern on the free Radio.com app. Just search Mike.
Let's be honest. This is protect my image, throw somebody else to the alligators before they eat me.
Mike's On. Radio.com.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen: radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I had no tangible evidence that my dad killed anyone.
What April Bellaccio did have was a feeling.
Let me ask you, how many people do you know that have been murdered?
None.
Well, everywhere I went. People that we knew or associated with were being murdered.
I'm Josh Dean. For the last 3 years, I've been following April, trying to make sense of what her father did and what else he may have done.
We know for a fact that they're both here and they're both there.
Well, nearly identical murders.
Nearly identical murders occur.
And he still had his arm raised like he never lowered the gun.
It's a true crime story that's also about our obsession with true crime and the mythic monsters we create.
I believe that my dad was consumed with the Zodiac, but I can look you in the eye and tell you he did not kill JonBenet.
I know, nobody likes that one.
The Clearing from Pineapple Street Media. In association with Gimlet.
The Clearing is available now for free on the Radio.com app.
Chicago is strong, always has been. In the midst of crisis, we come together to work, fight, contribute, and to show gratitude to the real heroes of this story. Stay strong and bear down.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago's sports station.
Final seconds. Magic's three-point attempt blocked. Pippen comes away with it. And the Chicago Bulls have won their first ever NBA championship.
courtesy NBC, Craig Hodges, a big part of that. And then he was summarily blackballed from the NBA. And many believe it was because of what he decided to do when the Bulls visited the White House, when he presented then-President Bush with a letter talking about how the country treated minorities and the poor with ideas for improving that treatment. And apparently that was no good in the eyes of the NBA then. And I give the NBA a whole lot of credit, because we know that, at least in that league, that's not the kind of thing that would happen now for a league that understands that players, that it's okay and it's encouraged for players to use their respective platforms for causes in which they believe. And it was just yesterday, in fact, that LeBron James was doing that very thing. Craig Hodges has been taking in some of what we've been seeing in The Last Dance, and he was on Fox Sports Radio discussing the documentary and some parts of it with which he may take issue.
One of the things as players, we call this a fraternity. So I'm watching. Okay, the first episode, I was upset about the cocaine circus. That bothered me. Because I'm thinking about the brothers who are on that picture with you, who have to explain to their family members that they're getting ready to watch this Michael Jordan great documentary event, and they know that you're on the team with them. Now you got to explain that to a 12-year-old boy. Scottie Pippen part. Scottie was selfish. Come on, man. Come on. Mm. And then last night with Horace, that hurt me. And I'm letting MJ know, dude, man, that ain't right, dude. Not that one. Them other things, okay. But Horace didn't deserve to take the fall for Jordan rules. Now, MJ may know something else. And if you know Horace wrote it, tell us how Horace did it, for my sake. Because I'm your teammate, brother, just like they are. And I'm kind of salty about how everybody got interviewed but me.
Craig, the thing that jumped out at a lot of people as well last night was the whole situation where Jordan's mom asked him to endorse Harvey Gann, who was running for Senate in North Carolina against Jesse Helms.
Stop right there.
Yep.
If your mama asked you to do it. If your mama asked you to do it.
Yep.
If your mama asked you to do it. Enough said.
Is that? And even That's 30 right. years later, he can't even acknowledge that he made a mistake, that he didn't do the right thing at that time.
Once again, and that's why I'm telling my people who are watching, it's economics in this. It's finances in this. It's money in this. Entertainment is 6, 7, 8, 9 down the road. You know what I'm saying? It's so much larger than what we're catching. So I heard this before. Check this out. I didn't know nothing about The Last Dance. My son told me about The Last Dance a week before it came out. And I'm like, what the hell about The Last Dance? And then I heard about what Phil had put together as a natural for the team. Okay, then I got it. But I was saying, wow, how long ago did they do this? And it's coming out right now? Just the timing is impeccable as a marketer.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't have another time when you got everybody sitting at the crib. You got the number one icon in Black America.
Yep.
At a time when Black people are dying at untold numbers.
Right.
Why now? Somebody got to explain that to me. That's why I want that question. Okay, MJ, I understand you the man. You the golden horseshoe. Everything you touch turned to gold. I get it. Why did you say that people ain't going to like you after this? And then last night, it looked to me like Horace was totally surprised. Maybe that's real reality TV or something. I don't know about Hollywood or whatever. But Horace seemed to be surprised that MJ said that he was the one that told about Jordan rules.
Strong stuff from former Bull Craig Hodges on Fox Sports Radio. And I see where he's going with a lot of it. Some of it not so much, because the idea of the calling those early Jordan Bulls teams, when he first arrived, that first team, frankly, when you're talking about the traveling cocaine circus, it's not the responsibility of a documentary to raise your 12-year-old kid, no matter who it is, no matter whether you're on that team or not. I think that you can explain what's meant by it, because anybody who was around the NBA at that time, it wasn't just the Bulls. It was all around the league. And it bothered me a little bit that somehow Craig Hodges is taking offense on behalf of who? Quentin Daly? Isn't Quentin Daly dead? Is he alive? I don't think so. I mean, I just don't know what you're... That team, it's true. I mean, you can't be mad. Yeah, Quentin Daly died in 2010. So I don't know that he's needed to explain anything to anybody anywhere right now. But if you start looking at some of the names on that roster and who ended up where and who did what, you can't be mad about that. As far as the pointing a finger at Horace Grant, look, Will and I had Sam Smith on last week. We talked directly with the author of the book, and essentially, we know nobody's going to reveal sources. No one's going to say, this guy told me this, and this guy told me that, but I thought Sam was really clear on this show, where he had relationships with a ton of people, with everybody on the coaching staff. It's not like there wasn't a deep throat, you know, Mark Felt. There wasn't a single source saying, hey, you want to know what's really going on. That book was the product of a lot of relationships and a lot of background and a lot of reporting. And Sam was clear about it. He's got nobody to hide from right now. He works for Bulls.com right now. He works for the team. After all that, after all of the fighting with Jerry Krause, the fighting with everybody else, it doesn't come from one person. And you'll learn things about everybody when you are as embedded as what a credentialed beat reporter used to be. You talk with coaches, you hear from everybody, and you get stories on there. That's why, and you know, Will talked about it too, it's why when it came out, the first thing that they realized was how correct a lot of it was. That's what hit home. It wouldn't. I don't think it would have made the splash that it made if it didn't have that. If the Jordan rules, and boy, it was a thing at the time. It was huge. If it didn't have the stamp of legitimacy with so many people, we're hearing some of the anecdotes and hearing, you know, relating things that had happened on planes and in practices and of all of it, because they knew it was true, and it came from a whole bunch of places, and. I also would disagree with Craig Hodges that just because your mother asks you to do something, it doesn't mean you're immediately somehow commanded by some sacred commitment to do everything that you're told when you're a grown adult. Jordan made up his mind as an adult, and I don't think the issue was minding his mother. I think the issue was not feeling it was important enough to lend his name and his brand to what it would actually could have made a difference in defeating a horrible, horrible racist, an open bigot. And we had discussed this before, those of us who were living in North Carolina during that Senate race and who understood what Jesse Helms was and what he stood for. This wasn't just some blue versus red thing. This wasn't just some guy who had policies you didn't like. This was an avowed racist, a pernicious, horrible, horrible man who, had he been defeated, people would have had a better opportunity in their state to vote, to participate in a fair democracy. And that state is still, to this day, digging out from policies and that were enacted during Jim Crow. And Jesse Helms was not just a guy. He was a titan of institutionalized racism. And it didn't just affect North Carolina because of the sway that he held in various senatorial committees. And I think that's what Craig Hodges was trying to underscore. I think that's what he's helping people in, not to give just a history lesson here, but just how bad a human being Jesse Helms was and how it might have mattered to have him out of power sooner rather than later, and what that might have meant for some people who were marginalized simply because of the color of their skin, who weren't counted as fully human because of the color of their skin, because he didn't think that they should be represented as human beings. With that, we have the Midday Midway coming up. We've got a local news story that you're not going to believe, and it is a man who I can't figure out whether he's a hero or whether he's clearly a criminal. I think he's actually crazy, but I think he might be a hero of our times. I will let you make that decision. I also have fun with AP reporting. It was a kind of a sad story, but a line that I found some dark humor in, because if you don't have gallows humor in these times, you know, when can you? Also, we had an old classic rock group get together and do an isolation concert. They performed a song, and I thought, ooh, no, this isn't going to go well. And you know what? It actually did. And I was actually shocked at how good it was and how good they sound in their dotage. And it was after the Rolling Stones thing at the concert, where Charlie Watts pretended to play drums and Keith Richards sort of pretended to be alive and play guitar, and I don't know what was real and what wasn't. This was really damn good, and I'm not a huge fan of their work, but I guess I have to give them the respect that they earned. It's coming up in the Midday Midway. It is straight ahead on The Score.
Cubs fans, while you're stuck at home, we're re-airing classic regular season Cubs games from the 2016 championship season. Sunday night, starting at 7. We take you back to May 8th, 2016, Cubs versus Nationals. The Cubs walk Bryce Harper 6 times, and Javi Baez gets a walk-off homer in the 13th.
And Baez drives one in the air. It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Relive some of the greatest moments in Cubs history from 2016 this Sunday night at 7 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs. Brought to you by Xfinity, Wintrust, Hefty Trash Bags, The Village of New Lenox, Marathon, Lakeshore Recycling System, Funkaway Odor Eliminator, and Loyola Medicine.
This segment is brought to you by True Green. It's Dan Bernstein here. For a couple years now, I've been talking about my friends at Aloha Restoration, and there have been storms that have been hitting lately in Lake County, a lot of the North Shore, Evanston, Skokie, Winnetka. I want to mention Aloha Restoration's parent company, Aloha Construction, because Aloha Construction is providing free property inspections. They can come out, they can check your roof, check your siding, check your gutters to see how everything is weathering these storms while practicing a contact-free process. It's all contact-free. So visit Aloha Construction right now, 847-540-7711. Visit AlohaBuilds.com. Give them a call. Aloha Construction. We rain when it storms.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. 4 lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. If that's not enough, we're throwing in 4 Samsung Galaxy phones on us. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores.
Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted. With premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda. And hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Will Perdue is sitting in today.
Jerry Krause told Phil that even if you go 82-0, you're still not coming back. Jerry Reinsdorf was the one that then took Jerry Krause out of the equation. Flew to Montana and met with Phil to sign a contract for 1 year so that Phil would come back for the 97-98 season. This is a business. Unfortunately, we've taken a game and made it a business as well. The numbers have to add up. The profit has to add up. How many things go on behind the scenes that people don't understand? It's just not about the X's and O's. As Michael talked about, I shouldn't be put in the position to choose. Phil Jackson understanding how to manipulate the media / his congregation, to Jerry Krause vilifying, feeling like that you guys, and I say you guys because of the time I was playing, that you guys are out to get him.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
Talked a lot of football to start with Matt Nagy on NFL Network last night. The schedule being released yesterday. Ryan Pace was on Bears All Access. So we discussed the schedule and what we have learned about the Bears. And we talked to Hub Arkush as well. And also got into some of the things that Craig Hodges said, who is an interesting figure and more interesting, I think, with modern context and an understanding of what he was trying to do with the status that he had at the time. I'm not laughing at what happened. I'm laughing at what was written about what happened. I want to be very clear on that. In Austin, Texas, a man was struck and killed by a commercial jet landing on a runway last night in an Austin, Texas airport, according to authorities. The pilot of the Southwest Airlines Flight 1932, a Boeing 737, arriving from Dallas, reported seeing a person on runway 17R at Austin Bergstrom International Airport shortly after the jet touched down at 8:12 p.m., according to a statement from the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA says the driver of an airport operations vehicle later found the body on the runway. Airport spokesman Bryce Dubey, which is perfect for today's Midday Midway, D-U-B-E-E, Bryce Dubey, says officials do not believe the unidentified man was supposed to be on the runway at the time of the incident. Let me read that again. The airport spokesman says officials do not believe the unidentified man was supposed to be on the runway at the time of the incident. Tell me in what possible situation somebody could be supposed to be standing on the runway at the time a 737 is landing. Hey, Steve, what? Get out there. What do you mean? A plane's landing. You're supposed to be standing on the runway. I am? Yeah, you got to get out there. I mean, that is... How is that part of the statement? Of course he wasn't supposed to be standing on the runway at the time the plane is landing. You know what that would be? Bad planning. Or tough job. You sign up for that one. I mean, you better read the fine print. Well, where are you supposed to be? Well, you're supposed to be in the middle of the runway when the plane's landing. I don't want to do that. Well, I mean, that's what it says. Look, I mean, these are your job responsibilities. You got to get out there and do that. So thank you. Thank you so much for that clarification that the unidentified man who was run over by a landing 737 was not supposed to be on the runway at the time of the incident. Sometimes we just have to leave it to local news to describe something for you. So why don't we just take you to CBS Sacramento and let them tell the story of someone who I think might be an American hero.
Now to a wine heist like you've never seen before, only wearing his underwear. Police say a man jumped on a tanker truck carrying bulk wine. And as it climbed up Highway 99, he climbed underneath, unscrewed a valve, and when the vino gushed out, he started guzzling.
CBS 13's Steve Large is along Highway 99 with the video you'll only see on CBS 13.
this suspect just uncorked what may be the wildest ride of any wine heist ever. The dash cam video from a tanker truck hauling bulk red wine on Highway 99 through Modesto first shows the suspect in a sedan putting his hazard lights on, directing the truck to the side of the highway. The truck driver pulls over, believing he may have a mechanical problem, only to see the man in the sedan get out, only wearing underwear. He runs to the passenger side of the truck and out of view. As the truck driver pulls back onto the freeway, another onboard camera captures that suspect jump back into view, then on the back of the wine truck. With no shirt and no shoes, he rides on the side of the tanker. The video then shows him climbing underneath the truck as it hits freeway speeds. That's when the driver noticed a dashboard gauge showing he was losing fluids, hundreds of gallons of red wine. He called the CHP.
I listen to radio. I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls. This one's up there in the top 10.
The truck driver found the suspect, Gabriel Moreno, now under arrest, in an unusual position. Moreno had unscrewed a valve underneath the truck as it was moving up Highway 99. That sent the tanker's wine gushing and Moreno gulping as much as he could.
This individual is able to release the wine from under the tanker, and he placed himself underneath the tanker in such a manner, the best way to describe this is somebody doing like snow angels.
This Highway 99 red wine heist, big and bold, with a finish in handcuffs.
This individual got exactly what they were looking for immediately.
By the way, the trucking company says they weighed their tanker after this was all over and found that they'd lost about 1,000 gallons of wine, most of it ending up on Highway 99. That's enough to fill about 5,000 red wine bottles.
Dude! The video is incredible. The video is absolutely amazing. But what? How did he know how to do it? Like, even if I really, well, believe me, I'd be motivated enough to you know, in these uncertain, unprecedented times, to maybe do something like that. And how, but I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to position myself. How does a person, like, without any kind of, like wrench, you picture something you'd have to open a fire hydrant, how did, with his bare hands, opens this thing up, and he's like drinking wine like he's drinking it out of a fire hose. 1,000 gallons? And he's underneath a moving truck at 65 miles an hour, guzzling wine? This is pretty spectacular. This is like something out of you know, Speed or one of those movies. I mean, it's amazing.
This was definitely Cameron Hughes, right?
You think it was Cameron, or you think it was his wine?
No, it's definitely him. It's him. That's how he gets his wine.
Oh, that's how he can sell it at such amazing prices.
Yeah, he just jumps on the highway. And yesterday he was thirsty, so you know he took a little break. In these unprecedented times, you know, desperate measures.
Good God, man! I mean, that's to know how to do it, to know what to do. Yeah, I should. I should definitely, if I the video of this, and you should link to this, you should definitely tag Cameron. So no word as to whether or not this was actually Cameron.
Well, seriously though, some sort of high-powered drug has to be part of this experience. And don't they say like crystal meth gives you superhuman strength? Or you could flip a car over if you wanted to, or something like that. That's why it takes like 50 police officers to. Maybe it's PCP. I have not done either.
Yeah,
lately.
I think. Yeah, you got to get on that. I think. Well, you're not living in a semi-permanent state of flatulence. You can also do a little PCP for us.
They live in a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
I cannot ever get enough of that. I've never been a Doobie Brothers fan, so I wasn't quite sure what to think when I saw the Doobie Brothers were going to perform a song in isolation. You know, Patrick Simmons is what, he's like 72 years old right now, and sometimes, you know, these rock and rollers, they don't, especially the guys that sing in the higher registers, they don't quite keep their voice the way they used to. The song's from 1974. I mean, I was 5 years old when it came out. And especially after seeing various degree success from some of these isolation concerts that were done, some work, some don't. It's really hard to get the timing. And then I put it on, and I have to tell you, way to go, Doobie Brothers, because I'll let you hear it for yourself, because this is In Isolation on remote. They show the violin guy. I don't know his name. And they all look like, you know, kind of elderly versions of the Doobie Brothers. Right? Good? The band is, just the band itself is 50 years old now.
The question to me is, when I see these things that are so impressive, I wonder if they're all individually recorded and then pieced together.
But even if it is, I'm really impressed that Patrick Simmons at 72, he sounds like he's 26.
Yeah, they
sound. He looks 100.
So it does sound great. The performance is excellent, but I just can't imagine just knowing, like, we do Zoom meetings every day before the show, and the lag and the delay. Mm-hmm. It'd be almost impossible to pull this off.
I know, but the fact that in our Zoom meetings, Mitch is still able to hit all those falsetto high notes is pretty incredible while playing mandolin. You know, it's amazing stuff every day. I look forward to it every morning.
Yeah, he's mastered it, I'll tell you, those high notes.
The 773 texter says the Doobies opened for Santana in Tinley Park last year and sounded great. And the 262 says, where's Michael McDonald? He's there. But what's interesting is Michael McDonald wasn't part of the Doobie Brothers when they first recorded this in 1974. He was not in this lineup. So you can hear his voice singing harmony, and he obviously sings it now that he's back with the Doobie Brothers. But from what I remember of the band, they were a pretty straightforward rock band. They started in San Jose playing to, like, bikers and that kind of thing. They were an actual straightforward rock and roll band. And when Michael McDonald joined, that's when they got a little more soul, R&B kind of stuff, What a Fool Believes and all that, and they started getting a little blue-eyed soul going, and now he is sort of retroactively playing songs like this one, 1974's Blackwater. But that is the Midday Midway. We have some more with Dave Zirin coming up. He is at Edge of Sports, the Edge of Sports podcast. He is the sports editor of The Nation, and he's not liking what he's hearing from Michael Jordan. Refers to him as an anti-hero right now. So we're going to get an out-of-town perspective from Dave Zirin on Michael Jordan and The Last Dance ahead of Danny Tarkanian at 11:20. Terry Bors is going to join us at 11:40. He said he's got some basketball thoughts too, something that he has been expecting to see in this documentary that he hasn't. He was around. He was around those Cocaine Circus teams too, so believe me, he knows from whence that reference comes. So a packed 11 o'clock hour starts next on The Score.
While we're all stuck at home and missing our live sports, The Score is here to help with Bears Sundays. We're rerunning 8 historic Bears games. 8 straight Sundays in a row. We pick things up this Sunday at noon with the Bears versus the Vikings. It was week 15 of 2010. Devin Hester made history on Monday Night Football. And Brett Favre gets knocked out.
Favre in trouble. Favre, down he goes. Sacked out of play by Curry.
Favre is down. Is not getting up.
Listen in as Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer deliver all the action this Sunday at noon, exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. Brought to you by Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
And by ComEd. ComEd's offering financial assistance. Call 800-334-7661 to learn more.
Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Don't answer that, because the answer is yes. Refinance your debt today with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Quickly, you can roll balances from multiple credit cards into a single monthly loan payment. You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, much lower than the national average credit card rate of over 19% APR. Plus, there are absolutely no fees. The application is quick and easy. It is 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. And that is exactly what they deliver. You can listen to some words here from somebody